Praise be to the God and Father. That's a good way to start, amen? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'll tell you, we can just stop right there, amen? 20 years old? You want to be blessed? Every spiritual blessing? That's how we do it right here, amen? Bible says that he has blessed us, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be, might live, might exist for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that the devil does not want your message to go out, Lord, knowing that there is confusion, pain, and distraction all around us, Lord, knowing that you are good and mighty and awesome, knowing that you meet us here this morning, Lord, knowing that you call us out of darkness and guide us into light, that you would meet us here, Lord. You deliver us, Lord. You see the pain that we have. You see the challenges that we have, Lord, that you would be glorified in our midst. We give you praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen? 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 That's what Aaron did last week. I wanted to do that as well. It was a special day this week, not only for Matthew, who turned 20, but for Wendy, who turned older than 20. I'm not going to say how older. But it was on Thursday night, and they were getting ready. Yuseli and some of the others were taking her out to a movie. And I said, where are you guys going out to the movie? And they said, well, I don't know, Fashion Valley, Mission Valley. And I said, you got to go down to Rancho Del Rey, $5. And then with the money that you save, you can go get pizza at La Bella's. Now, who's ever been to La Bella's? She goes, what's La Bella's? I said, well, it's an Italian place down on 3rd Avenue. Man, it's been there since the 40s or the 50s. It's got the greatest pizza, and it's cheap. And so you go there, and you go out to La Bella's afterward, and you have a good time. And that's where we like to go when we go for Italian. Unless, of course, you want to go for lasagna. And then you go to DeMille's, because DeMille's has the best lasagna on the planet. Can I get a witness on that? Who's been to DeMille's? You too? Yeah, okay. William, he goes to all the Italian places. I'm talking to her. I get a little excited about that because it's like a secret, right? And you got this place and you want to share it. It's like a gift that you can give. Amen? And so we got this new series that we're looking at this month, The Gift of Life. And as we come to the Christmas time, we got Christmas trees, we got decorations, we got everything but snow. Amen? How many people are happy we don't got snow? How many people could use a little snow? Well, the God A's are going to drive to New Mexico. They're going to get snow. You can just follow them. But other than that, it's just really cold. It's this time of giving. New life in Christ. It's a gift that we get, and it's a gift that we can share. And the Lord, we talk about the beginning of the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to this church in Ephesus. and it revolves around the gift that we receive. You know, my wife, she made this, declaration, change of format in our Christmas thing. She decided she wasn't going to get anybody any presents and that she was going to do all the gift giving through Samaritan's Purse and through the Christmas Child boxes. How many of you guys did Christmas Child boxes? Yeah. She was so excited because we gave out 50 of these boxes, and she told my family, no presents. We don't need anything. I'm giving all my presents to Operation Christmas Blessing, Christmas Child. Well, I didn't sign up for that. I mean, I have no problem giving the boxes and the good stuff, but I like giving. Anybody like giving? I like giving. And I like the shopping, and I like doing all the stuff, and the wrapping, and all that stuff. Now, I also want to let you know I only buy one gift. It's for my wife. And she does all the other shopping and all the other gift giving, so I don't get really wrapped up in it. But I do enjoy giving that gift. And I think the Lord puts that in our hearts. And the Lord puts that in our souls. Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. Amen? And so we talked about Christmas time, and we come to Christmas time, and we have this gift of new life in Christ, transforming our existence, pulling us out of pain, pulling us out of darkness, pulling us out of sin. It's a gift that we receive, and it's a gift that we can share. That's what we're going to take a look at today, a gift to share. Amen? We're going to go through the opening verses of Ephesians that I just read to you. And we're going to start off with verse 3, because we're talking about God being a blesser. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, our blessings come through Jesus. And we see that verse 3 here that the kingdom is focused on blessings. How many of you guys like blessings? Yeah, it's a letter for Ephesus, it's a letter for us. Now, the words that are used here for blessing, I'm just going to bless you with my Greek here, three related word, elagatos, elagasas, and elagia. All right, there are three different versions, per se, of the same word, and they all mean blessed. That first word, praise, is actually elagatos, and it means blessed. And it's an adjective, and it's describing... Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Scott will get that, but I'm sorry. I use that adjective word. It describes God. Let me read it for you. It says, the blessed God blesses us with spiritual blessings. Right? It doesn't look like that in English. The blessed God. See, God is a blesser, and he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, but it's not a past tense thing. It is an ongoing thing. He is a blesser, and he is the God of blessings. And so, as we take a look at the kingdom and our focus on the kingdom, it kind of puts a shine on the Christmas season. Amen? That there are Christmas blessings. Amen? I hope you're blessed this Christmas time. More than just having blessed us, he's the blessing God. And he pours out those abundant blessings upon us. And it, as we grab on to faith in Christ, as we turn from our lives of sin, we line ourselves up on the life that the Lord has for us, new life in him. He opens up spiritual blessings to us. And some of you might be here this morning saying, I could use some physical blessings. Amen? Somebody might say, I could use a couple of worldly blessings underneath my Christmas tree. Amen? Well, let's talk about spiritual for a second. Because the spiritual realm overlaps the physical realm. Paul writes in the end of this letter to the church in Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What he is saying is that all this evil spiritual stuff that is going on will mess up your week. Anybody have a challenging week? Anybody have a challenging month? See, we got spiritual forces of evil that are overflowing against God's plan and against God's people, you being perhaps one of them. Amen? And so we talk about the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is laying right on top of the physical realm. It is so close that you can reach out and touch it. And so as we talk about spiritual blessings coming at us, it is something that you can touch. Amen? All right, let's keep on going. God being a blesser. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. He chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight because he's looking. How was your week? Right now, he's looking. He knows if you got your phone out and you're playing a game. He knows if you're messing around. He knows who's been naughty and nice. But he's more than Santa. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chooses us for his family. And I'm wondering this morning, how big is your family? Who do you let into your family? Who do you consider family? Paul tells us here that God chose us to be part of his family before the creation of the world. He used a complicated word here. Predestined means he chose. He chooses us to be holy, and he chooses us to be blameless. Now, that word holy means separate, that when he chooses us, we are changed and we are separated from the world. So when you come to know Christ, he separates you for the kingdom, that you would be focused on him and stepping away from the world. You see that picture? How things just kind of separate. And then he adds in blameless. Blameless means to be pure, spiritually and morally. I don't know about you, but when I came out of my life, I wasn't pure spiritually or morally or physically or any other way. Amen? I needed to be separated from my old life so I could be focused on him, his plan for me, and for the kingdom. Amen? He chooses us to be separated. It is through the life and through the ministry of Christ that we are transformed. It is like God pushes us through the ministry of Jesus and we come out and we're different. We come out and we are changed. We come out clean. This is the gift of God for us. You know, about, I want to say 3 weeks ago, our washing machine broke. How many of you guys ever fix a washing machine? It's a crisis, right? Who's got it? Goes, oh, yeah, it's a crisis. Because I got my work pants. I'm working on the car or something, get all greasy, get all messed up, and can't be walking around all dirty. Amen? And when your washing machine is busted, you got no way to make anything clean. And so it was screaming and it was yelling. We closed the door and there's a bearing going bad and the motor was going bad. And finally it just died. It wouldn't even turn on anymore. And so I was able to look on Craigslist and find the exact same model for sale, except it was busted too. And this is the part that was busted on the new one. But I had one that was good on my old one. And so I was able to get the new one really cheap. and pull out this part and put it in my new non-busted machine. And I could put in my clothes. And they'd come out clean. That's what God does to us. And what problem is we walk around in our lives dirty because we're missing some parts. We're missing the God part in our life. It's a gift we receive. Gift that we could share. Amen? All right. Let's keep going. Chapter 2. Point 2. Verses 5 through 8. He predestined us for adoption. I'm kind of rewinding on that. This whole intro, first 14 verses, are all one sentence in Greek. So it kind of runs on. I'm just kind of taking a ramp up going back to verse 5 here. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption. It's a big word there. Redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Our transformation is a result of God's grace. God's grace, grace means his unmerited favor. It is not something that you can accomplish on your own. It is not something that you can do on your own. It's not something that you can earn. It's not something that you can warrant. God chooses to make William new. God chooses to make Teresa new. God chooses to make our young people new. Little Rocky, new. Little Reuben, new. Because he likes to. Because it makes him happy. It blesses him to bless us. Talk about God's grace, and it is the best grace. It is glorious grace. Sometimes I walk around here and I'll be saying, glory. I even get mocked sometimes by these people around here from the microphones that say, glory. So I've been trying to come up with new words, but here it's glorious grace, and it is the best there is, and it comes in abundance. It's an overflowing of God's grace, a profusion of God's grace that rolls over into our lives. The gift of God. It's a gift that you can receive, that we do receive, because of his grace, and it's also a gift that we can share. Who do you know that's hurting, that needs some of God's grace? He says here that we are redeemed from sin. It's a picture of me before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I was bound in sin. I was chained in sin. And through Jesus' sacrifice, through Jesus' blood on the cross, I am set free from a life of sin. Amen? And you might be sitting there this morning going, Pastor, I've been set free from sin, but I got a whole lot of baggage that I am dragging around with me. Can I get a witness on that? Now, in addition to being set free from a life of sin, hamartia, also it says there, the sins, that we are set free from sins. That is a different word. If I can look it up here, I got it highlighted someplace too. Paratoma. And it is these individual acts, these heinous things. You ever think about the heinous stuff that you used to do? And it just makes you feel guilty? And you're thinking, how can I ever be made right? Well, because of the blood of Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross, because you turn from that life of sin, he takes all of those acts and he puts them as far as the east is from the west. Forgiveness, paratoma. Every sin that you've ever done, turn away from your life, grab onto his, and we are redeemed and we are forgiven. It's like my pants. throw them in that washing machine, and they come out clean. You surrender your life to the Lord, and He's got a heavenly washing machine, a spiritual washing machine. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness and puts you into His family. Amen? Aren't you glad His washing machine ain't broke? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. All right. Let's get rolling here. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And Paul is saying, God's not done yet. God's not done with you, God's not done with me, and God's not done with all the people that are hurting around us. Doesn't that make you feel good this morning? That God still has part of His plan that He is unrolling. Now, He reveals to us the mystery of His will. Elsewhere, it is called a secret. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the secret of the kingdom. And it's called a mystery and it's called a secret because it had not yet been revealed. But now it's a 2,000-year-old secret that's been revealed in Jesus Christ. That He wants to give you new life, that He wants to welcome you into His family, that He wants to set you free from sin, and He wants to forgive every sinful act that you've ever done if you would turn away from your life and grab onto Him in faith. Can I get a witness on that? It goes beyond me and you. It talks about all creation being lined up under the headship of Jesus. So it's bigger than your family, bigger than my family. We're talking about all the creation that is now all tore up because of the evil forces that come against God's plan and God's people. There is discord. There is not the unity that we see. God is working it out. Flows over from the discord in the spiritual and the heavenlies into the natural, and we see discord all around us. Amen? Wow. Play practice just finished. Praise the Lord. Goes, heaven and earth shall come under that. And until then, we are in process. And the process is you and me being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. It says that when the times will be fulfilled, and we're talking about eras, we're talking about now the Christian era, and we're talking about the time in which you can receive Christ as your Savior, go into that spiritual washing machine and be made clean. And the people that you know, the people that you love, and the people that are hurting that are around you can go into that spiritual washing machine, into the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Why? Because it makes Him happy, and He chooses to do it, and He pours out His grace on us so that we can be made like Him and we can come into His family. But He says that this time is going to end when Jesus comes back, and it'll be too late. And the people that you know, your family members, like we talked about on Wednesday night, the door will close and the time will end and nobody else will be able to get in. It's still unfolding. God's not done yet. There is time for you, for those you love, and those who hurt around you to step into the kingdom of God. It's a life-changing gift we receive from God, and it's a gift that we can share. Amen? William and I were on the cart, the hot dog cart, last week. I think it was last week. And there was a young man. Izzy knows him. I don't know his name, though. And I was asking Dane, I got to find out his name, but I had a problem with him about 10 days ago. We got a rule on the cart: if you cuss, you don't eat. And this young man saw me and cussed, and I wasn't going to serve him. He said, Pastor Bob, you don't give me a burrito day, I'm never coming to your church. I said, can't serve you, bud. Come back tomorrow. And you know, it was cool. He came back the next day, and he apologized. I'm sorry, I was out of line. Cool, man, cool. I'll give you a burrito. And but he came up last week with a beer in his hand. And I go to William. I said, I don't know, man. Do we serve guys in line drinking beers? And he had on sweats, and he put it in his pocket. He said it was a soda. I said, William, do we serve guys that are in line that are lying? And we talked for a minute, and he says, what do you think? You think I'm going to spend my whole life like this? Mine, William's eyes got big. What's going to cause you to stop? And you know, since then, we started talking to him. But since then, I've been praying for him every day because I saw a crack in his life. You know, don't see it on the other guy. I saw a crack in his life where he's hurting enough to receive this gift. He's hurting enough to open up to be made new. My question for you this morning is, who do you know that's hurting enough to be made brand new? Maybe you come in here this morning and you're saying, I hurt enough. I want to be made new. Well, this could be your day, because the gift of life is a gift we receive. It's also a gift that we can share. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you. We're in process. People around you are in process. God is doing it in him, verses 11 and 12. In him we're also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything. Everybody say everything? Who works out everything in conformity. He lines it up with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be, live, dwell, exist, for the praise of his glory. Our purpose in life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. How many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Now, I've given my life to the Lord. I'm a new creation in him. Okay, he's got a job for you. Your job is to bring him glory. And you have to ask yourself, did I bring him glory this week? Ask yourself when you get up in the morning, God, how am I going to bring you glory today? How am I going to bless you today? How am I going to make you happy today? How am I going to shine your light today? How am I going to be salt for you today, Lord? How am I going to impact that person who's hurting bad enough to open his heart to you? Because it says that he works everything to conform to his will. Even all of that evil discord that comes. There's a lot of drug paraphernalia and alcohol up there on this picture. All the pain that comes from that, all the pain that comes from abuse, all the pain that comes in this planet, God is so big that he's able to move it into accord with his will, that you can surrender your life and you can be transformed and made new and just put in that spiritual washing machine and come out brand new. Come out brand new. Who do you know? Who do you know that's a 23-year-old walking around the skate park who hurts bad enough to say, I'm not going to be like this my whole life? Who do you know that God is doing a work on today? You can say, God, I want to bring you glory. God, use me. Because God's working all over the place. But he's saying, your job, bring me glory. Your job, shine that light. Your job, let somebody know about me. So I'm wondering, are you working that plan? Are you bringing glory to God? Because we're surrounded by people that are drowning in sin or surrounded by pain. And we've been redeemed so that we can share that message of the kingdom. Bring new life. Someone you know needs that gift. It's a gift we receive, and it's a gift we can share. Amen? Last thing I got for you, verses 13 and 14. You also, that's you. You also are included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And the message of truth is key. It is the message of Jesus that gives you, that gives me, that gives us, that gives that person that is suffering around you the opportunity to be transformed by a life of faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. I want to let you know that your faith is not enough to have your life be transformed. Because not just anything is going to get you into the kingdom. You have to grab onto the truth. You must have, faith must have an accurate target to change your life. Amen? And so when that message of truth comes by, you have got to reach out and you have to grab onto that in faith. And then God redeems you. And then God cleans you. And then God brings you into his family. Never to be the same. Got a brand new job. Bring him glory. That's what people in his family do. You say, well, how can I be sure I got the truth? Well, when you grab on to the message of the gospel in faith, turn from your life of sin, you will be saved. Amen? When you are saved, you are sealed. It is like a legal document. Back in the day, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is your proof that you are a member of God's family. Also gives you a message. See, when you come to that person this Christmas season who's hurting so bad, we had a young man come in here this morning, came in, I think on Thursday. He is hurting so bad. When you read it on him, you know people like that. You know somebody who is just sitting in a puddle of pain, sitting in sin. They need a message. And they'll say, how can you be sure? Because I got the Holy Ghost. I was just like you. I was hurting so bad. And the message of the gospel came by, I grabbed on, and the Holy Spirit came into me and is doing a work in me. I'm not the way I used to be. Can I get a witness on there? He said, that's the gift I received from God, but it's a gift that you can get today too, because in the same way he came into me, he'll come into you. Surrender your life to him. Turn away from your wicked ways. In faith, grab onto Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit will come into you and change your life. That's a gift you receive, and that's a gift that you can share. I know I'm different because Jesus sent his Spirit to reside in me. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up here? So I'm wondering this morning, are you in the family? Are you in the family of God? Have you surrendered your life and faith as the gospel of truth come your way and you reached out and grabbed onto that? Is new life in the kingdom a gift that you have received? Because if not, because if it is, man, you're going, I'm feeling good. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you right now going, child, well done. Know what I'm saying? Child, well done. But if you don't, right now, you're not feeling so comfy. Right now, you might be feeling a little bit of pain. Right now, you might feel a little edgy. Right now, the Lord might be saying, you need to do this. Because the Holy Spirit is not in you. But the Spirit can come into you right now. You can grab onto that truth. Maybe you sit here this morning and you got some baggage. Lord has done set you free from sin, but you're making some poor choices. And your life is not bringing him glory. You know, I say right up here is a hospital. But right up here, it's also a trash heap where you can unload your garbage.
Man, thank you, Jesus.
We got ushers come up here and then They'll pick it up later, throw it away. God, you just come up here and just, Lord, I got some garbage in my life. You know, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to come up here and kneel before Him. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit coming to you, transforming you. Come up here and say, well, I don't really feel that comfortable doing that. Well, there's going to be a whole lot of harder things God's going to ask you to do. And come up and kneel at an altar. You got some garbage in your life and you need to dump it off. And you're saying, well, I don't really feel comfortable doing that. Well, God's going to ask you to do a whole lot harder stuff. Say, well, I just think I'll just take my garbage with me. You know, garbage stinks after a while. Amen? It's not something you want to leave with. Lord will clean you up. Last thing this morning, this Christmas season, God's got somebody around you that is hurting, that is struggling. And He wants to use you to share that gift of life. You'd say, Lord, I don't know who that is. You come right up here and you can just bend a knee and you say, Lord, show me. Show me where you're doing a work, Lord. Show me what you're doing, Lord. Show me what you have planned, Lord. Maybe you know, and you can just, like that kid at the skateboard park, you can just begin to pray for him. Pray for her. Pray for your family. Pray for that person that around you. And find that person that God is already working on. Gift of life, gift we receive, and a gift we can share. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask the worship team to come while we pray. Lord, I just lift up folks that are here this morning, Lord, that you would be glorified and magnified. And you're here this morning, and God is telling you, you're not part of my family. You are not included in the reward and the inheritance in heaven and any of that stuff. You're here this morning and you know that you are empty inside, that you are dirty inside, that you're walking around.
We need you, God. We need you.
And the message of truth comes by you this morning, just like that rope that was up there on the screen. You want to grab on this morning and say, Lord, I turn from my wicked ways, and Lord, I grab onto you. I want to know you as my Savior with nobody looking around. Is that you this morning? I just want you to slide up your hand and say, that's me, Lord. I need to know him. Over here, somebody else would say, that's me. Right here, right there. Somebody else say, that's me this morning. Back over here. Anybody else say, that's me this morning. I need to get in that washing machine. I need to be made clean. Anybody else right here this morning say, that's me this morning.
Hallelujah.
You put your hand up. We're going to be singing. Put your hand up. You want to come into the family of the Lord. In just a minute, I'm just going to ask you, I want you to just come up here and just kneel. Maybe you're here this morning and you got some garbage that you need to unload this morning. You got some stuff you've been dragging around with you, and the Lord says, this is beginning to stink. It's defiling to me. It does not bring me glory. I need you to drop that off out of your life. That's you this morning. God's speaking to your heart, saying you got something in your life, you need to dump it off. I just want to slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I got some stuff I need to let go right over here. Somebody else say, that's me. I got some stuff I need to let go right here. Somebody else say, that's me. That's me.
Yes.
Last thing, real quick. You're here this morning, and you're saying, okay, God, use me. Use me, Lord. I have received this gift of life, Lord. Lord, I want to give. I want to share. I want to give this gift. Lord, use me. I want to glorify you this Christmas season.
Yes.
That's you this morning. You say, Lord, use me in a mighty way.